Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Ready! All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch. They're saying it's a catch. Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money. All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
Welcome into the Action Network Podcast. We are presented by FanDuel. Brendan Glasheen with Brandon Anderson and Joe Gallant. You're listening to the NFL Conference Championship Recap episode. This is it. Super Bowl 57 is set. But first, we need to recap the conference championship games. We will dive into the Super Bowl line, the Super Bowl total, and what we may see as far as some betting angles for the Super Bowl from what we can see now over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So we'll get to that, but we need to recap the two games. We will start with what we saw most recently and what is in our heads at the current moment, which is the AFC Championship game. Kansas City defeats Cincinnati 23-20. Chiefs cover 1.5. Of course, the line movement all week was hectic, chaotic, whatever word you want to come up with. It was nuts. But if you got the Chiefs in any capacity as a dog, as a small favorite, they got there, and the under hit in this game. Total was pretty consistent throughout the week, under 48.5. That's where it closed. Some 47.5 points out there as well. Fellas, I'm so invested in these games now as just a neutral fan of the sport. I got to be honest, like, we've been doing this for how many weeks now? 20-somewhat weeks. I'm really annoyed with some of the stuff from today. So I'm trying my best to be the professional host, keep it together. So that's the cue to just go to Brandon and get his thoughts on what we just saw in that late game in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have to start with that final call before the field goal. You know, Mahomes gets the ball back. You're trying to be the hero. You're down to what, under like 15, 17 seconds, something like that. We're not in field goal range. It drove me crazy. Okay, we'll rewind a couple drives. We'll get there. The Chiefs punt the ball from the 37-yard line with 2.5 minutes left or whatever. I'm thinking, you just gave the ball away. Patrick Mahomes is not going to touch the field again. We're done. It's over. Like, we know how this game ends. We know what Joe Burrow is going to do. Big play. A couple big plays I want to mention because there are a lot of ref plays, and we're going to talk about them. Mm-hmm. Big plays that I think got overlooked. Third down, Joe Burrow drops back to pass. This is under 2 minutes now as the Bengals are trying to drive to get into field goal range with the kicker, probably that has the bigger leg in McPherson, the way that Bucker has been injured this year. The Chiefs, Chris Jones, absolute superstar today. Mm-hmm. I thought probably the best player on the field. I don't know if that can happen when Mahomes and Burrow are playing, but he was incredible. First time, I think, all game that I saw, they moved Chris Jones outside at the end of the line. He came right off the edge and sacks Joe Burrow. The only sack Burrow took the second half. You had 4 the first half. That was the big moment. You sack him. You get the ball back. Chiefs move the ball a little bit, but aren't really in field goal range. And then that's the play where Mahomes scrambles on the gimpy ankle. We saw him hobbling a couple times the second half. Look, I think it was the right call. He steps out of bounds. You see the foot out of bounds. I think the second foot was out of bounds. Joseph Asai, he hit him late. And it's not a roughing the passer. It's just a call that you're going to make in anyone. You're out of bounds. You got the hit. I don't like Asai. You got to maybe kind of wrap up or try to cushion the blow or hold him up or something there. I think it's a call you have to make. It sucks. I hate it. I absolutely hate it, Brendan. I don't want this game to end that way. We deserved overtime, especially after that garbage NFC game that we'll get to. Mm-hmm. We didn't get it. And then Butker got the easier field goal, and that was that.
Yeah, I talked with my friend about this game. I'm kind of coming around, but he said the game was awesome. You know, even if it had a sour ending, it didn't take away from everything that we saw up to that point. And that's where we disagree. I disagree. Like, if you're watching a movie and the first hour and a half are amazing, and then all of a sudden it has just a horrible, abrupt ending, it's going to take away from what happened in that first hour and a half, that experience that you had. And to me, that was just kind of the tough part about, you know, some of these games. Even if I agree with you, Brandon, it was the right call. But yeah, to me, it just, that horrible, abrupt ending just kind of just left a sour taste in my mouth. But, you know, there were some other things that kind of bothered me about this game. You know, Tony Romo, I think he got outworked today by Greg Olsen. We'll talk about a little bit more about this in the Eagles. Yep. And but I thought Greg Olsen was amazing today. And I thought Tony Romo was just a little too Tony Romo-ish today. Like, just, you know, the, oh, Jim, you know, just, it was too much like Romo, you know. And, you know, he made like an egregious comparison of comparing these quarterbacks to like a MJ and Drexler. And I'm like, yeah, like Patrick Mahomes is good. Don't get me wrong, but he's got one Super Bowl. But let's slow the roll on comparing him to Michael Jordan here. But honestly, my biggest gripe from this game, Brandon, is some of the preseason or pregame reporting, specifically with Jay Glazer and guys like that, like these insiders who were almost kind of like sensationalizing the injuries. Like, you'd swear by his testimony today during that on the sideline for Eagles Niners that Travis Kelce is either not going to play or he's going to be severely limited with a back injury. Talking about he's on anti-inflammatories all weekend. Like, we don't even know if he's going to be able to walk. Like, you know, he finishes with 7 catches and 78 yards and a touchdown. He played over 80% of the snaps, like his usual amount. It had no impact on the game itself. But his reporting, you saw the line move for Kansas City. You saw the trickle down with all the props with, you know, Noah Gray's touchdown odds dropped because they thought he was going to get more snaps as a result. And just all that stuff. I just thought it was irresponsible to just kind of speculate on an injury like that. And, you know, I'm sure he's, again, well-connected. I'm not trying to say that Jay Glazer isn't good at his job, but I don't think maybe he's fully taking into consideration the gambling ramifications of that kind of report, where he's one of the few skill players that could actually move a line. Like, you know, so like, I just, that was my biggest issue today with that, outside of the final play call for Mahomes there, that he got that penalty.
You don't at all consider that he may have just got bad intel and that was coming from the Kansas City side? Oh, we don't know what's going to happen. They didn't want to give him anything?
I mean, sure. Again, that's the benefit of the doubt, which is why I'm kind of coming around as the game has ended. You know, my anger has kind of subsided. But, you know, just at the time when I'm seeing that, and then midway through the game, you're watching Travis Kelce just look like Travis Kelce. Like, you would never have known that there was anything wrong with him. That was just, it was frustrating for me to watch, you know. And but going back to the actual game, the run games on either side were kind of negligible. You saw a couple nice runs from Isaiah Pacheco, but, you know, Joe Mixon couldn't really get it going at all. Samaje Perine ended up scoring the touchdown. Shout out to Nick Giffen, friend of the show. He hit Samaje Perine at plus 480 for a touchdown. But Joe Burrow cannot be your leading rusher and you want to win the game. He threw 2 picks. He was sacked 5 times, as Brandon mentioned. And my final point is, I think the mayor of Cincinnati can just get fucked. This dumb Burrowhead Arrowhead video that he did just was, I'm tired of these mayors kind of like challenging each other, like with games like this. It's just awkward and cringe. I don't want any more of that. So yeah, mayor of Cincinnati, let's cut the shit.
Well, what makes it most cringe too is the one guy who didn't talk all week in terms of trash for the Bengals was the quarterback. He's pretty corporate when he goes to the podium. Burrow says all the right things, gives the other team credit, speaks about what we have to do, meaning the Bengals, we have to do to execute and win the game. If there's anyone to not get on, it's Burrow. Now, he did make a nice comment about refunding the tickets as it pertains to a potential neutral site game.
You better send those refunds.
I thought that was nifty. Every once in a while, a little dig to remind everybody we're pretty good. Yeah, run game was a big part of this game, no question. The lack thereof of the running game, huge factor. Tyler Boyd got hurt in this game, so T. Higgins emerged for a touchdown in the second half. Patrick Mahomes fumbling the football to set up the opportunity for Cincinnati to eventually take the lead in this game, or to tie the game. Brandon, what did you take away leading up to what we had just discussed as far as the football is concerned, in terms of what you pick apart and think, what could be a factor in Super Bowl 57 for the Kansas City side?
Yeah, well, and I think it's interesting that the first half of this game was very different than the way that this thing ended. And it's kind of mirrored the way that these Chiefs-Bengals games have gone up until the 2 minutes before the 2 minutes before halftime. This looked like the Chiefs were going to kind of run away with it. We saw Chris Jones absolutely dominating. We saw four sacks in the first half. The Bengals line just could not hold up. All those injuries came home to roost. The Chiefs lost Legarius Sneed, the cornerback, early on. It seemed like right away, that's going to be a problem. We have nobody left to cover all these Bengals receivers, but they couldn't get it out to them. So I had in my notes, up until the Bengals drive right before halftime, Cincinnati had 24 plays for 61 yards. So 2.5 yards of play at that point. They had 3 points. Burrow had just thrown an interception. I thought was a pretty terrible play. He kind of just lofted one up and put it up for grabs, which is really where their big plays came from this game. And then the Chiefs had the interception. The defense gave up the touchdown, I believe, to Kelce around then. I can't remember if that was the right spot. But then Cincinnati gets the ball back. Burrow throws another interception, but it gets called back on that pass interference, which was maybe the only call the Bengals actually got the entire game. I don't know. But after that, they drive down like 90 yards. They settle for the field goal. They come out, get the stop, get the touchdown right after the halftime. So I want to know, like, I had Bengals second half. So it was a no sweat second half cover. We were fine. Even a tie, it was 14-7 Bengals second half all the way. Even as the Chiefs kept driving late, field goal, touchdown, didn't matter. We had the plus a half, so even a tie there would have covered. Although that little pitchy woo at the end did scare the bejesus out of me a little bit. But what I want to know is this. We've seen this now in these matchups where the Chiefs jump out early and then the Bengals came on late. So is that just this matchup or is that something else? Because after that opening stretch, 2.5 yards of play, counting the 2 minute warning and forward, the Bengals had 39 plays, 248 yards, 6.5 yards of play. And the Eagles offense is a lot better than the Bengals, particularly because the Bengals are playing dudes off the street on the offensive line. The Eagles have the best offensive line in football and the best run game in football. We're not going to see any Joe Mixon 1 yard carries over and over again from the Eagles. That was a surprise to me. I was on Mixon props in this one. They obviously didn't come home for me, but the Eagles are not the Bengals and are going to be able to run the ball. And so when you replace the Cincinnati backups and give real blocking, and look, even with those backups, even with the terrible blocking, Burrow started getting the ball out, starting getting it to those receivers late. It felt certainly to me like if this game went to overtime, I would have certainly thought the Bengals were going to win the game if it went to overtime, right? Like Cincinnati, the longer the game was going, it felt like was probably going to find a way, in part because of all the Chiefs' injuries. Well, now we've got 2 weeks. We'll see what everything shakes out there. But aren't the Eagles kind of a better version of what the Bengals were? Jalen Hurts is not better than Joe Burrow, not saying that, but the team thing, the run game, the receivers, the defense, the lines, all of those angles are going to go like the tail of the tape. It's going to be check marks all the way down for the Eagles, except at quarterback, just like it was for the Bengals, but the check marks even bolder for the Eagles. That's what we saw today. And the Chiefs barely got through at home with a lot of help from the refs and a late field goal. And I think the Eagles are a better version than that. So that I think that has to be the takeaway looking forward to the Super Bowl, that matchup.
Before we move on to Philadelphia and San Francisco, let's spend a quick second on, and clearly the last play of the game, he was mobile enough to run for the first down. There was the penalty. It was his longest rushing attempt of the night. Patrick Mahomes had 3 carries, 8 yards. those of you who took the cheese on under passing yards, sorry. Some of us here at Action kind of warned you that when this guy's dealing with something, lower body, he can hang in the pocket and chuck the pill. 43 attempts, 29 completions, 326. He was hobbling a bit at the end. No mistake about it. What did we think? Jill, I'll start with you. What did you think of Mahomes?
I mean, I thought he looked better than majority of quarterbacks on one leg. You know, I mean, that was one of the things about the injuries is that the injuries almost didn't even seem to matter. Like, you know, you lose Kadarius Toney, next man up. Then you lose Mecole Hardman. Oh, well. You know, like, then Mahomes starts limping. Oh, I don't know. And then he just throws a dart to Marquez Valdes-Scantling over the middle that you're just like, oh, okay, all right, he looks fine to me. So now you're getting, you know, 13 days, you know, to recover until the next game. You got to imagine he's going to get a lot more treatment. I think he is the equalizer from a quarterback standpoint, just with what he can do in the pocket and the fact that he can keep defenses off balance. So I think this break in between, anybody stands to benefit, it's definitely going to be Patrick Mahomes.
Off the top of your head, I apologize for putting you on the spot. Do you know what MVS was? What was his anytime touchdown number?
Absolutely. He was plus 350 for an anytime touchdown.
Okay. And he had one. Six catches, 116 through the air. So yeah, next man up. They went right to the next guy. Kelsey had 7 for 78. You aired your displeasure with the reporting on Kelsey. And but MVS was big. He was huge in this game. Pacheco had 5 catches, 59 yards, the next man in line. Brandon, quick thought on Mahomes. What'd you think?
I mean, it was Mahomes. He was fantastic. That my angle early on was coming into the game, well, Mahomes can't be 100%. He can't possibly be. We all saw it happen. So that means Joe Burrow probably must be as good in this game. And I like the rest of the roster. And then the game started, I was like, okay, well, Mahomes is just doing all the Mahomes things. And let's be fair, not all the Mahomes things. A little less like wild creation and scrambling, keeping it alive. I agree, Joe. I thought Tony Romo was terrible in this game. I love him. I tweeted that it felt like Tony Romo was so bad, it's almost like that he made the Cowboys made the conference championship anyway. But one thing I thought he was good at early on
I love how two of the angles off the top of the podcast about the quarterback was the former quarterback who was in the booth. That's phenomenal. Both of you have been on
From a viewing experience, it was awful. Like, again, I'm a big Romo supporter. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
I loved when he moved to the booth, but today was just not his finest hour.
Well, one thing that I think it was him, one thing he was good at is that early on he commented, I thought he was dead on, that in a way the injuries maybe would kind of help Patrick Mahomes by limiting him from doing the crazy Mahomes stuff and getting the ball out quicker, getting at some of these checkdowns. And I think that was true. I think that did help Mahomes to get it out quickly and get some of those plays. We saw Pacheco especially break some tackles and get some big runs. So, yeah, the bummer to me from this game, I think Mahomes looked fine. And now we have 2 weeks to rest. I think the bigger injury story in offense has to be all the receivers. Like, you got to throw to somebody. Kelsey is still out there, but Jay Glazer thought he was dying earlier today, and now Mecole Hardman is out, and Juju is out, and Kadarius is out. We got Marcus Kemp out there catching passes. I can't say I know anything about Marcus Kemp. Sky Moore, the rookie, is out there. He was returning a punt on that last drive, by the way, or the kickoff, which was a great return by him, the great special teams play. Sky Moore, earlier in the season, is muffing punts and blowing games for the Chiefs, and it's like, oh, please don't let that be how this goes. So I think the injuries to receivers matter a little more than to Mahomes. Maybe, that sounds crazy. Mahomes is Mahomes, so we need to make sure that he's good to go. But it's criminal to me, the weird ref stuff. We didn't even talk about the third down play where the Chiefs got stopped, and then the refs were like, haha, just kidding, do the third down again. Sorry, Bengals. Like, we didn't get there. Weird ref stuff all game, weird Tony Romo stuff all game. It's criminal to me. We just watched Patrick Mahomes on one ankle, on a high ankle sprain, go out and have the legendary throw to Valdes-Scantling. Incredible play by him. The scramble on a bum ankle to get your team into field goal position to go win the game and go to the Super Bowl. Like, these are, I'm just going to say it, these are the Michael Jordan moments adding to where you're getting to at the early part of the career. These are those moments they got ruined by all the ref and all the shenanigans. So Patrick Mahomes was awesome. And I don't know, I bet against him last week with Jacksonville. I lucked into the cover. I bet against him in this game. I feel like I'm probably going to do it again in the Super Bowl. And what am I doing? Betting against Patrick Mahomes every week. It's not fun. I don't enjoy it.
He certainly has the flair, but I will also add that is why you pay him $400 million because elevating others, right?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Okay, let's spend some moments now on Eagles, Niners. Quarterback gets hurt. Purdy gets hurt. We see Josh Johnson, and I'm like, how many teams has this guy played for? Decade in the league. He's been everywhere. Multiple stints with the Niners. Guys, this was never a game. This was never a game, and it was really sad.
Congratulations, San Francisco. You've ruined pizza.
Skill players for the Niners. I will say this, like the Kittles, the Debos, I know McCaffrey's the newest member of this team, but even Kittle. Kittle keeps such a strong head on his shoulders. Could easily give in fourth quarterback. I've played with so many guys here since I've been in San Francisco. This what are we doing? And they didn't fold. They sort of did in the fourth quarter. They kind of knew it was over just based on play calling. Shanahan sort of gave in like, this is over. But I give some of those guys credit, especially their defense. I thought their defense hung in there as best as they could. But you can't help but take away the Eagles are NFC champs again for the first time since 2018 when they won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. And they coasted to this NFC crown. They beat the Giants handedly. They were never tested in this game at all. Really, in my opinion, maybe there were some moments in that first half where you thought, okay, the Eagles are sort of kind of battle tested from within that 60-minute game, but not all that much. They win 31-7, Brandon. They cover the 2.5, under hits, not comfortably, but it felt like it was going that direction for much of the second half. What do you take away? Do you come away from this thinking Eagles are the best team in the NFL?
No, I mean, you don't not think that either. You come away thinking that was not a football game. We did not watch a football game. We were robbed of what should have been this great game, this great matchup we were excited for. Finally, we got a non-rematch. We were finally going to get to find out, is it Philly or San Fran? What does Brock Purdy have in him? We just got none of that. We had no takeaways. We learned very little from this game. San Francisco didn't get to play. Like, that's it. Brock Purdy gets hurt on the first drive of the game for the Niners. The whole first quarter is just off the rails. Here are some bullet points from the first quarter. May I remind you, Fred Warner, star linebacker, gets hurt on the second play, stays in, but I thought that was a deal. Devontae Smith makes this crazy catch. I'm going, yes, Devontae, here we go with our receiving yards. Only one of his two catches, which, by the way, not a catch, didn't get challenged. They didn't overturn it, and then they get a touchdown out of it, which turned out to be the only Eagles points for a while. Then we get the Brock Purdy injury interception turned fumble when they did challenge it. That, I think, is one takeaway, an actual one from this game. Nick Sirianni and the staff, they make the right decisions on the challenges. They made the right decisions on the fourth downs a couple times on those touchdown drives. Andy Reid does not do that. Andy Reid has never done that, and that was a big thing against Kyle Shanahan. That's a thing he doesn't do well either. That is something to keep in mind for the Super Bowl. After the Purdy play, where that's where he got hurt. Now we got Josh Johnson in. You mentioned all the teams. This is his 14th NFL team. He's played in three other football leagues during that stretch. This is his fourth time playing for the 49ers. Nick Bosa got hurt on a play that he was not in the game for in the first quarter. Still were in the first quarter. The punt hit a wire, and we almost got a review on that. That's it. That's the takeaway. All of that mess is the takeaway. This was not football. Hassan Reddick, I thought, was the best player in the field in this game. Here's my question. Is it a takeaway that I thought Jalen Hurts and the Eagles were kind of crappy, to be honest? Like, they won by a lot. I thought Hurts was not good. Didn't look good. Didn't look accurate. They struggled to move the ball. The Niners defense kept them in it much longer than they should have, right? This should have just been over. You have literally no one can throw the ball. We're done. Season is a wrap. The Niners had 164 yards for the game. They didn't move the ball at all and still kind of hung around a while. Should we be at all worried about the Eagles? They were not very good in this game offensively.
Yeah, Brandon, the 121 passing yards, I think, was already a sign that we were already talking about coming into this game, is where is Jalen Hurts' shoulder at and whether or not he could throw the ball. And I think it was a little column A, column B. I think his shoulder's a little dinged up, but I think also the Niners defense just did fairly well just defending the pass. I think Brock Purdy's probably going to get a bad rap for this game because there's going to be the casuals who will see like that he was in the game and, you know, is he playing? Is he not? Why won't he throw? You know, he might have tore his UCL. He's probably going to need Tommy John surgery at worst, you know, and if that's the case, he's probably out for next season. But yeah, the game, Brandon, honestly, it had serious Kendall Hilton vibes. If anybody recalls this game, is from Saints Broncos in 2020. It was a game that was just ravaged by COVID, where basically the entire Broncos quarterback room was close contact. So Kendall Hinton had to come in and he finished with 13 passing yards and it was 130 yards total from the Broncos. It was one of the shittiest games you could ever watch. And it had those kinds of vibes. Now the 164 passing yards, Brandon, I looked a little deeper into that because that was the lowest yardage that they've had in any game this season, both passing and rushing. And I wanted to find out, okay, is that just an anomaly or, you know, that's the lowest that they've had since week one of the 2017 season. So again, they don't even in games like where you could recall like a game where they lost to Seattle, like 12-3 or, you know, just, or against Arizona, these tight games, they always still at least put up like 250 combined yards somehow, you know, manufacturing it. Right. And the Niners run defense, as strong as they were, they kind of got beat pretty handily there in the first drive. The first touchdown that Miles Sanders scored, he walked right in. It wasn't like it was like all contested and then, you know, broke a tackle. Like they just parted like the Red Sea and they got wore down as the game was going on, because when you're on the field for majority of the game, you're just going to get wore down after a while. And you could tell because they had only the Niners defense had only allowed 7 touchdowns all season to running backs. And they gave up 3 rushing touchdowns to running backs in the first half. Boston Scott scored. Miles Sanders had 2 touchdowns. And then the Hurts touchdown drive, that was the drive where right after he finished and scored a touchdown, because he had 4 straight rushing attempts and then a goal line touchdown, they pulled him from that game. And he had, you know, 13 rushing carries in the game. So that's what I'm wondering, is there's a little speculation of whether or not his shoulder is all the way back and that how that may impact, you know, the Super Bowl if his shoulder will be recovering. So we could talk about that a little bit more. But as well, another thing too, just some questionable penalties. I mean, in both games, but this one, that roughing the kicker penalty is still another penalty that kind of rubs me the wrong way. Like, I get it, you call it to the letter of the law, but all you have to do is just watch one replay and you see the Niners player being pushed into the kicker, and it was a complete momentum changer. And yeah, when you're at Josh Johnson, who then gets concussed, and then you bring in Brock Purdy, who can't throw more than 10 yards, your offense essentially becomes Army Navy, and you're not going to ever win a game that way in the NFL. So that's pretty much, it was kind of anticlimactic. As soon as he got hurt, you kind of already saw what was the writing on the wall, that if they can't throw the ball longer than 10 yards, this game is over.
So Josh Johnson led them to a touchdown drive, 7 plays, 46 yards to tie the game.
I would say Christian McCaffrey led them to a touchdown drive. Yes, I don't know if I would give that to Johnson.
Okay, fair enough. The dump offs to him, there was a nice McCaffrey was the guy for that entire drive. I thought there may have been one Debo catch on that drive, but no, it was mostly CMC. It was all CMC. I will say this, if there's one thing to take away from the Eagles, despite beating a Giants team, tomato can opponent, happy to be there, Niners down to their fourth quarterback, these long 20-play, 67-yard drive, 7 minutes of clock, even in the second half, they had a drive that lasted half a quarter, 16 plays, 72 yards. Those are pretty impressive, especially against that defense. Now, at that point in the game, the drive that it took 72 yards, 7:50 on the clock, granted the Niners defense had been on the field quite a bit in that ball game at that stage, I give the Eagles some credit for that, just keeping the defense guessing, and there is some deception there.
Yeah, I mean, that matters to me. Again, looking ahead to the Super Bowl, what's the best defense against Patrick Mahomes? It's keeping him on the sideline. And if you can rip off a 15, 20-play drive, chew up, what if they do that three times in the Super Bowl? Eight-minute drives, eight-minute, eight-minute, eight-minute. This half of the game almost, that's just gone, that Patrick Mahomes doesn't even get to do anything. Doesn't matter how healthy he is. Does he have any receivers? None of it matters if he's not on the field for those plays, because the Chiefs defense can't get off the field, can't tackle, and the Eagles are just putting these long drives together. So I think you're right that does matter. Certainly in a game like this, like I know right before the half, like we kind of yada yada the game now. Right before the half, it was 7-7, and then the Eagles got a touchdown. Josh Johnson literally just dropped the ball on a snap, and we get another touchdown, 21-7, game over. And then it totally got away, and it turned into not football after that. There are other versions of this game, I think. Like, it seems crazy to suggest that the Eagles might have struggled here when they win 31-7. The Niners defense was bottling them up, and it's a tie game. And, like, if you get to halftime and it's 7-7 and your offense has done nothing, absolutely nothing since the first drive, and the other team is out of quarterbacks and you still can't put them away, now that home field advantage starts to go, like the murmur and the like, mm-hmm. Oh man, are we gonna blow this to a team that has like their eighth string quarterback in? Like, we are not that far from that script of this game. We didn't, but I think that we have to keep in mind that that was on the table. Like, the offense did struggle. And I don't know that you can really say the defense was successful when the other team didn't get to do a game plan. They weren't unsuccessful, but like all those penalties, the Eagles had 7 first downs from penalties. I think they were earned. I think those are the right calls. But man, they got bailed out all game long by just freebie stuff from fluky fumbles and penalties. And still it stayed a game much longer than it probably should have. Like, if you knew before the game that Kendall Hinton basically is playing quarterback for the Niners on the road, like the line for this game is like Eagles by more than 2 touchdowns, right? Like, the line just skyrockets for Philadelphia. And then we're just like, oh yeah, this is the game. That's what we expected. We can't really be impressed here. I think that there is some concern with how much that they kind of played with their food a little bit. I mean, you win the game and they basically like coasted into the Super Bowl at this point. So you can't be too upset about it, but I don't think you'd be too pleased with the performance today either.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
So let's dive in. Let's do an extensive dive now on Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl 57. will take place in Arizona. So right before we went live, and by right before when this game ended, Kansas City and Cincinnati, the Chiefs opened as 1.5-point favorites, and then money flew in, flew in on Philadelphia as a dog. And now the line has flipped. Our sponsor, FanDuel, the Eagles are favorites at -1.5. Elsewhere, you might see some 2.5s. So whatever time you're listening, if it's Monday morning, maybe there's changes at this point. But as we come to you live early in the morning, very early in the morning on Monday, the Eagles are 1.5-point favorites now over at FanDuel. Total set at 49.5. Jill, I'll go to you first. I know there's no anytime touchdown market posted, which I'm assuming you'd know the answer to this. When does that market post? And I'm asking more so because of the Super Bowl. I know there's more of a window now to bet on it, but when might we see a touchdown market? And just your thoughts on the total spread, where whatever direction you'd like to go.
Yeah. So over the last couple of years, books like FanDuel have gotten really aggressive, and rightfully so, they should, and get the touchdown odds up earlier. Now there might be some injury question marks, but I think FanDuel will overlook that. I'd probably say by Tuesday at the latest, they'll likely have some touchdown score odds up, and then more props will trickle out, because usually the touchdown score props are actually the first ones coming up before we start to see, you know, yardage props, reception props, all that kind of stuff. The one thing that's actually kind of fun, they actually do have some fun specials right now. You know, just will there be a return for a punt or a kickoff for a touchdown at 12-1, you know, just on both, to have both sides covered on that. That's actually a pretty good value proposition. You know, another one, this is one that I wouldn't bet, but again, if people want to have fun with it, it's the Super Bowl, I'm not going to say no, but there's one for a big man touchdown. So an offensive lineman to score a touchdown, that's a 37-1. Now I'll just say from an implied probability standpoint, that does not match up with the value at all. That should probably be closer to like 50-1, maybe 60-1. So just tread carefully, but again, this is a Super Bowl. You should have some fun and make sure to look at some props as you're going. Now from a total standpoint, sitting at 49.5, my gut immediately thinks to take the under, just because of what we saw today and, you know, how both offenses might actually have a little bit of a struggle, but also how both defenses, the Eagles specifically, much stronger, where if they could have those long depth plays and drives, like you were just describing, these 8-minute drives and grinding out half of the game, you know, we might only see combined 4 touchdowns, you know, between both teams. So, you know, if 5 even at the most, you're still going to fall way below this 49.5. So that would probably be my initial instinct. And then, you know, as you saw the line come out, you know, you saw the Chiefs kind of open up. You could tell the sports books, like, they didn't want to basically just hand over Mahomes as an underdog for people to just run buck wild. But at the same time, they knew they couldn't put it as too aggressive of a line. So you were sitting there at -2, and then it immediately steams back towards the Eagles. The market kind of dictates that. And now the Eagles up to, you know, -2.5 at some spots. You know, we're sitting right now at -1.5 FanDuel right now. So the best line to be able to get the Eagles if you're going to be looking at them. And we do have at least a recent matchup to look at between these two teams, even though some of the characters have changed. You know, Tyreek Hill is no longer on the Chiefs, but, you know, they did play each other last year in Philadelphia in week 4. And the final score, you would think it was a blowout. It finished Chiefs 42-30, but, you know, it was actually fairly close. It was 28-23 entering the fourth quarter. And then like Tyreek Hill just goes nuclear, as he does, you know, and catches a 45-yard touchdown, a 12-yard touchdown. And before you know it, you know, the Chiefs are blowing them out, as they say. So I think this game is going to be a lot closer than, I mean, the spread is already indicating that. I don't think either team is going to get blown out similar to what we saw in the games in Philadelphia so far. But I do find it very interesting that the market is immediately saying, No, this Eagles team is the one that we're going to be backing.
Brandon, what do you think? Yeah. Line is at 1.5. Eagles are favorites now, total 49.5.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to hear, obviously, we'll get all the storylines. We get 2 weeks to do every storyline in the world. We're going to get a lot of injury updates. I think, again, like we said last week, I'm not necessarily running to bet a side here because I think that the line's going to bounce around. We got injuries. We don't know how healthy either of the quarterbacks are. We don't know what version of Mahomes or Hurts we're going to get necessarily. Plus, there's a lot of other guys, less for the Eagles now, but we're waiting on those Chiefs receivers. We got to see what happens with Snead. Willie Gay is a question mark. There are a lot of Chiefs injuries. Maybe Travis Kelce, who knows? Like, these are key guys and key players in where the line goes. It's very fascinating where the line sits right now to me, just from a line perspective. I like the Eagles, and I'm going to get to that in a second. I like them for now. I'm not running to bet it. But at 2.5, it's like normally if you saw a 2.5, that would be a prime hot read because you think, well, I want that side. I better grab it now. It's going to move to a 3, hit the key number, maybe get past it. Better go get it. Do we think it's going to really get to a -3? Because -3 Eagles is +3 Patrick Mahomes. And I have to believe if they lay, if any book out there, FanDuel or otherwise, gives us a +3 on Mahomes, that public money is going to just be pouring in on Pat. And it's going to come fast, and I think it's going to bounce right back down below the key. So I think if you want the Eagles, I don't know you have to go here, because look what just happened with the Bengals and Chiefs. And tell me if I'm crazy to have this idea. I kind of wish I did it this week, and I missed out on it. We saw earlier this week the Chiefs open as favorites, like they did briefly here for the Super Bowl. Then the line went all the way to Bengals being favored. Oh, no, Patrick's hurt. The Bengals are good. And then everyone was like, ah, public money. Here comes Mahomes as an underdog. And then we got all the way back to 2.5 in favor of the Chiefs again. So the Chiefs are the moneyline underdog right now at plus, what are we at on FanDuel? Is it like +115 right now?
+108 is what I'm seeing.
+108. So that's dropped. I think it was +111 something earlier. What do we think about just, what if my play for the Super Bowl is just grabbing right now the best Chiefs money line I can get, then waiting and just playing the line. No angles, no analysis. Just play the line. Give me the Chiefs plus money, or the money line at plus money. And then later on, when we get there in the next 2 weeks, when some injury, blah, blah, blah happens and the public money comes on the Chiefs, and then we get to a +100 or a plus money on the Eagles, just like what happened here today. Now just take that side. I'm out. I don't have to do any analysis. I don't care who wins. I'll just take my free money on either side of the game. Easiest money I ever made. I kind of wish I did that this week in the Chiefs-Bengals game. Am I crazy to think that we might have that as an option here?
I mean, you didn't have this scenario last year, right? With the Rams and the Bengals. Last year it was Rams -4. And they won, of course, outright. So a lot of folks ended up betting the Rams money line. But the Bengals did get their covering in terms of a side. But no, you didn't get a scenario like this where the money line number was close to even on both sides.
Well, I mentioned I like the Eagles. Some of the reasons I like that, it's those trenches. I think the Eagles, if they win this game, and I think they will, it's going to be because of the trenches. Kansas City's offensive line only ranks 16th in passing protection for the season. Two times all year, they played a top 8 pass rush twice, and it was Jacksonville both times, and they did not fare well. They did not really handle a pass rush well, and the Eagles' pass rush is number one with the bullet. Like, they are the best. Hassan Reddick was amazing today. They're going to get after Mahomes, and look, we saw today what we expected. Mahomes started out looking really great and then got a little gimpier as the game went along. We're going to have some version of that, I think, in the Super Bowl. So if you have a questionable line with a huge pass rush coming and a quarterback that any play suddenly throws the wrong direction or tweaks the ankle or something, I think that has to be a big advantage in the Eagles' favor. And then on the other side, you have this awesome, dominant run game, run blocking line against the Chiefs defense that today was fantastic against the run. I have to give them credit. Before today, the Chiefs faced only two teams all season with a positive run defense DVOA. They lost both those games and they were 30th on defensive DVOA in those games. So if the Chiefs can't get off the field stopping the run, to me, the Eagles can do the physical, like we saw last week, Cincinnati to Buffalo, where you can't get on the field. Josh Allen can't even do anything because there's just nothing happening in the trenches. To me, that's why I like the Eagles early on here. I think that the trenches are the matchups that Philadelphia really can win. I had a column at Action Network up last week. Who would you pick to play in the Super Bowl if you're each one of these teams? For Philadelphia, I had them picking the Chiefs for that reason. I thought winning in the trenches is where they could really do that. So I think that's a big thing. Chiefs are second to last in red zone defense. The Eagles are amazing red zone offense. We know the whole, like, here, Jill, here's a fourth storyline for you. That stupid Jalen Hurts rugby scrum play. I don't want to hear about the rugby scrum unstoppable play anymore. We're going to get one last game with that because I think they're going to get it out of the rules at the end of the season. But look, you can't stop it. Nobody has stopped it. And that's a big thing too, especially against a red zone defense that can't stop anyone. So I think that the Eagles win the trenches. A storyline that I want to look into, I don't have necessarily an angle I love here yet. If the Chiefs win, Mahomes is the MVP. We know this. This is what's going to happen. I don't think that's the case with the Eagles, especially if Jalen Hurts is not really at the top of his game like we saw today. I think if you like the Eagles, you might have a lot of fun trying to find who you think could be your interesting Super Bowl MVP. Maybe it's another runner. You know, we've talked about Devontae Smith having a big game. AJ Brown, the Chiefs are bottom five against wide receiver one. Jill, you're going to tell us to bet on somebody from the Eagles scoring out of the slot because it's the Chiefs, and this is what we do here on the show. We're going to have a lot of options. Somebody on the defense, Hassan Reddick has two or three sacks, or somebody else. Like, I think Eagles Super Bowl MVP is open. Like, it's like first day of hunting season, and it's open shooting out there, and we can just go crazy and find your long shot you like. I think that's going to be a fun one to look into.
All right, fellas. We have a lot of time to pick this apart. I look forward to your coin toss analysis, your Gatorade color analysis, the touchdown market being available. That's where Joe Gallant can give more analysis, and that's his wheelhouse. We look forward to that Super Bowl MVP. I look forward to seeing some lines on that. A lot to pick apart, of course, betting angles for the Super Bowl, which is 2 weeks from today. So we have plenty of time to dissect. That is going to conclude today's episode. Want to remind all of you, as a quick reminder, you can get a subscription to Action Pro. That is how you get the most out of Action's award-winning app. Right now, Action is offering a pro subscription at 40% off. This is only being offered during the playoffs. So if you don't already have Pro, now is the best time to subscribe and unlock all of the best features of the Action app. For Brandon Anderson and Joe Gallant, Brendan Glasheen, we certainly appreciate all of you sticking with us all season long. We will be back again for Best Bets. We have our daily content, the podcast Best Bets, betting previews, player prop breakdowns, and the props will be fun for the Super Bowl. Make no mistake. We'll have it all covered for you here on the Action Network podcast presented by FanDuel. We'll talk to you again next time. You'll have a great week.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.